Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all.
Breaking news, the major national security breach, plans for U.S. strikes in the Middle East, inadvertently sent to a reporter through an exclusive group chat with top officials.
Tonight, the group chat bombshell, some of America's top leaders texting candidly and sharing sensitive military strategy with a group that included a top magazine editor. Secretary of Defense, the Vice President, and more debated military options before the raid on Houthis in Yemen.
We begin tonight with a question. How on earth did this happen?
This is an extraordinary, potentially dangerous, and without a doubt embarrassing breach of national security.
A journalist was inadvertently included on a text message chain in which the president's national security team was planning an attack on Yemen's Houthi rebels.
Then, on the day of the attack, with the journalist still included in the text message chain, the Secretary of Defense spelled out exactly how it would play out 2 hours before it did.
Oops. Oh, man. Oh, wow. I mean, who hasn't, though? I mean, who hasn't inadvertently invited a member of the press into your discussion of operationally secure information about military planning against one of your enemies in the world? John, you've done it, right?
No.
Just yesterday, I think. I did it twice.
You did, but I wasn't going to tell you.
Oh, my God. This story's so bad. This is so bad. And if you ask me my guess, okay, my guess as to what happened, and even here, it's kind of hard to really speculate effectively because it's so bad. I mean, they shouldn't have been using Signal in the first place, which is not approved for secure communications. But it's convenient. Just like it's convenient to have your personal cell phone for county business. I mean, it's convenient. So people do it. And you got this group of people, including, Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio and, Susan Wiles and, a bunch of people who are all on this text chain discussing, military planning and whether we should. By the way, John Ratcliffe, the CIA, Steve Witkoff, Middle East envoy, J.D. Vance, vice president, Steve Miller, White House deputy chief of staff, and Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, the DNI, and Mike Waltz, national security advisor. So they're all in this text thread, talking about the Houthis and should we or shouldn't we? And J.D. Vance is arguing, I'm sick of us spending money that Europe should be spending. They benefit more from this than we do. I'm not sure that we should do this. I have to explain to the American people, back and forth. Well, when are we going to do it? Okay, we're going to do it at this time. All right, we did it. Okay, cool. Good job, guys. Thumbs up emoji. That's all part of this. That's crazy. So on my screen, it says JG. Who's JG? Anybody know who JG is? JG. Jeff Goldberg, editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Wait, he's on this thread? Yeah, he was on the thread. And he says,
I assumed that I was being spoofed or hoaxed or included in some kind of disinformation campaign because it was simply too improbable to me that they would have such poor operational security as to inadvertently invite the editor of The Atlantic into a national security discussion about the timing of a bombing campaign.
This, to try to put it in perspective, like if you don't know who The Atlantic is, and I understand if you don't read magazines, especially longstanding, wildly liberal magazines, and The Atlantic, frankly, is famous for very, very long articles. You ever see the expression TLDNR, in something that too long did not read? TLDNR should be The Atlantic's motto. Like, we are going to write you an investigative journalism piece on the production of jeans, pants, pockets in Malaysia. 18 pages. I'm not kidding. Like, that's The Atlantic. It's famous for this. Anyway, and very left. Great magazine. I mean, genuinely a great magazine. You say, well, but it's left. No, it's good work. It's informative. It's way too long, but it's really good journalism. Anyway, you should read it once in a while. It's, you know, listen to what everybody says. Anyway, so Jeff Goldberg says, when I got the invitation from Mike Waltz, I thought, surely somebody's pranking me. And then I accepted. I think it's amazing he accepted the invitation. Because a lot of times you don't accept a lot of things because you figure somebody's going to steal my data. You know, somebody's going to abuse my phone number, whatever the case may be. But he said yes. And then in early March, right before the Houthi attack, you know, he's like, what is happening? You know? And then after the attack, to his credit, he dropped off the chain and he didn't disclose anything ahead of time. And he still, I think, not disclosed everything, just some of the things. And he says, oh, my God, what did I just experience? Well, this, right? And even he acknowledged that people make dumb mistakes, especially around texting.
People have devices that are extraordinarily convenient, and government officials are just like you and me. They like convenience. They're just like you and me. They sometimes send texts to people they didn't mean to send texts to. The consequences here are a lot higher for that sort of thing than in regular civilian life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, taking the classified documents and putting them in an unlocked closet, or taking the classified documents and putting them in an unsecured garage next to your Corvette, or, you know, pick your example, right? People who use their phones do dumb things on. Have you ever sent a text to the wrong person? I mean, everybody has. Yes. Have you ever sent a really embarrassing text to the wrong person? Most everybody has. You know, and you just kind of hope when you're sending a text, like, I hope I did this right. Sometimes you even try to pay attention and you get it wrong. Okay, but that's exactly why you don't do this kind of stuff over these kinds of formats. Anyway, so then this got worse before it got better. I'll tell you about that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not even seeing delays on 98. Garcelon Point Bridge is looking amazing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
She does look good this morning. So clean, so tidy. Whew, wait for the sunset or sunrise. Okay, back to the crazy breach of operational security by basically the top members of the White House National Security Team. I was trying to figure out like how this would happen. Obviously, if Mike Waltz did the invite, and maybe it was a staffer using his phone, who knows? Okay, whoever set up this group text, I mean, who's the one who actually set it up in the beginning and who added people? I don't know the answer. You would think somebody'd be responsible for that, like somebody owns the group text. It probably wouldn't be any of these key players. It'd be some staffer who's got clearance enough, maybe. But, I mean, somebody who had Goldberg's number in their phone, I don't think it was probably a mistake. Maybe it's a inherited phone from somebody. I mean, I don't know. But The Atlantic? Well, why not add, you know, the CEO of MSNBC while you're at it, right? Like, why not the president of Columbia University? I mean, why only the Atlantic? You know, but that's the point. That's the level of thing here. So it's just weird. And then that he accepted it is weird. And that they discuss these things is all weird. And unfortunately, what the Trump administration often does is before it knows anything, it denies and attacks the person doing the thing. This is Pete Hegseth on the tarmac yesterday.
You share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic, and were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does.
Yeah, but unfortunately, attacking him doesn't work in this case because the National Security Council issued a statement says it was looking into how this happened, and they've essentially acknowledged the veracity of it. And So you can't say it's bad journalism. National Security Council spokesman Brian Hughes says the message thread was reported, appears to be authentic, and we are reviewing how an inadvertent number was added to the chain. Oopsie. So one of the problems with treating everybody who criticizes you as if they are an enemy and should be attacked with all your guns is you miss the opportunity to realize, oh, that's our fault. And instead of looking like a fool, which is what Pete Hegseth looks like when he attacks Jeff Goldberg in this case, he could have said, I don't know. I haven't read the article. I don't know. I've read the article, but I haven't talked with my people. I don't know. We're looking into it. Instead of, oh, no, he's a poopy-faced liar. Which is... Then it got worse before it got better.
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Right, thank
you.
That's it.
Jeff Goldberg, later on CBS.
You know, he can say that it wasn't a war plan, but it was a minute-by-minute accounting of what was about to happen.
If you're going to get into parsing the definition of what constitutes a war plan, you've lost. I mean, saying the administration has lost. If Pete Hegseth's defense is, well, I mean, it didn't have a map of troop movement, so it's not a war plan. You know, it didn't have a, you know, launch the missiles here, which F-18 was going to carry the bombs there, so it's not a war plan. Dude, it was a war plan. This is bad. This is really, really bad. Now, oddly, I don't get to say this an awful lot in these kind of circumstances. I'm going to give Trump a B on his answer because he was in a meeting and they asked him about it. And apparently, even though he had come out a couple hours before and nobody had told him or he hadn't read about it, but he apparently didn't know.
Mr. President, your reaction to the story in The Atlantic that said that some of your top cabinet officials and aides had been discussing very sensitive material through Signal and included an Atlantic report for that. What is your response to that?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials.
Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis? You mean the attack on the Houthis? Right. Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective, I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time.
That's the part I want to credit him for because he doesn't admit that very often. He doesn't admit that he doesn't know something very often. So good for that. On the other hand, immediately moving to, well, it must not have mattered much. We won the encounter. Oh, no, sir. And also attacking the Atlantic. Well, you know, they're struggling, failing. They're not a very good, you know, magazine. Dude. But this is habit for them. This is habit. If a judge rules that Trump did something wrong, the first response is attack the judge, smear the judge, say he's a fool, say he doesn't know the Constitution, say he's a wild liberal activist. Doesn't matter whether that's true or not. First counterpunch lands. That's what people remember. That frames the issue. That's all you got to do. The Atlantic. Bunch of liars and liberals. Who cares? Nobody even reads The Atlantic anymore and stays awake. But, I mean, you know, like, that's the modus operandi for this administration. It's a bad way to approach the world. A more, I don't know, productive way would be, okay, I don't know. I'd like to know more. I'll get back to you when I know something. But that's, of course, that approach is not what got Trump elected. Ready, fire, aim is not, I mean, that's the practice, right? That's what they're doing across the board. So, was it a crime? Maybe. Should they lose clearance? Time will tell if there's an investigation, if Congress has the appetite for it. We'll see. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in Thursday at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The East Coast Writers Association presents the Books by the Bay Festival Saturday downtown in Museum Plaza from 10 till 4. See booksbythebay.info for more. The Palafox Market is open Saturdays from 9 till 2 at both the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Check out items from talented vendors who grow, make, or create. See visitpensacola.com for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Oh my God, he's completely spaced out.
Good morning, 626 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fires for us. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see just some minor delays. I'd say 5 to 7 minutes just due to congestion. Again, that's eastbound. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So you might have a little bit of a backup there because of Andrew McKay's weird ongoing lung issues?
Yes.
Because it can jet? Okay.
David, we're not, yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, genetic testing company 23andMe is filing for bankruptcy. Privacy experts are saying that the DNA of millions of people may be up for sale. The company, known for its saliva-based test kits, offers customers a look into their genetic ancestry. But they say that there's no need to panic. Customer data is secure.
Can I take a moment to just nice and loud and contemptuously say, I told you so?
Are you saying you didn't send your DNA off for analysis?
Oh, my God, no. I have never sent in for any of these things. I think it's amazing that people will send in their DNA for this kind of crap. I mean, it's amazing to me that people participate in this. I find it offensive that they can use it to triangulate people who don't send in their DNA based on what your family members send in.
Right.
It's crazy Minority Report kind of stuff. And the idea that, oh, well, we've got a privacy arrangement with you, but of course, if we change that, we change it. And if we sell your information, we sell your information. It's not protected by HIPAA because you're not a medical, you know, patient. You are an information client, and so, oh, sure, just send us your saliva. Everything will be fine. I was always amazed that people did this. But, okay, here we go. I'm done. Happy days. Delete your account. I'm sure that'll be thorough. Tell them to destroy your sample. I'm sure they will. Sure.
Absolutely. In a less stressing headline, President Trump says he's nominating Susan Monterez to lead the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She'd already been serving as the CDC's acting director. Trump's first pick was former Congressman Dr. Dave Weldon. His name, though, was withdrawn just before a scheduled confirmation hearing. And Alex Ovechkin is closing in now on Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL career goals record. He's only 7 away, Andrew. And the Washington Capitals are playing the Winnipeg Jets tonight at the Canada Life Center. So we'll see where he's at after that.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Did you send in your 23andMe stuff?
Well, not 23andMe, but I did the ancestry one.
Oh, you did? Okay. John?
No.
Yeah, for the reasons I said, right?
I feel exactly like you.
I didn't think about it beforehand, but then, I regretted it about a year later. I'm like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now you're in the system.
Yeah. At least, again, theoretically, allegedly, you can delete all your account information if that works, because I'm sure there's no data backups anywhere. Anyway,
See, I really just wanted to know my percentage of Neanderthal DNA.
what did it prove?
I didn't have any.
No. Well, good for you.
Unfortunately.
All right. Yeah. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you if you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe, you know, kind of like in the early phases, I always tell you to go to Frontier Motors, and that's true. And Dave Ramsey tells you the same thing, and he's right. But maybe think about Frontier as a different kind of thing, because what you probably think of them as the place that sells used cars, and of course they are, obviously. But instead of thinking them as kind of like the adversary, which is, I think, pretty common in this situation, you're trying to get a car from them and not be taken advantage of, because that's what we think about a lot of times, salespeople and car dealers. Think of them as car buying guidance, like advisors. And instead of going to buy a car, go to figure out what's a good car. They see a lot of cars. They know what people enjoy. They know what people buy. They know what holds their value and doesn't hold their value. And, you know, maybe just ask, hey, here's kind of what I'm thinking about. What can you tell me about what would be a good car that would fit my needs, that people seem to enjoy, that has good features and holds its value? And they'll help with that, whether you buy a car from them or not. I mean, just maybe think of them as that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is trying to discredit a journalist accidentally added to a chat about airstrikes about to happen in Yemen.
Secretary Hegseth referred to the specifics, including targets, weapons, and attack plans, that the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, said was shared in a text chain he was on. Hegseth denied that was the case.
Nobody was texting war plans.
The National Security Council is looking into Goldberg's addition to the Signal app chain. It believes was via an invite from National Security Advisor Mike Waltz.
Fox's Colonel Scott, a student protester sues to stop her deportation.
21-year-old Yun-so Chung moved to the United States from South Korea nearly 15 years ago. The State Department revoked her legal status after her arrest.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten, ICE agents have not found Chung to detain her. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 54 degrees right now. Cloudy skies this morning. The Pensacola Bay City Ferry Service started off its service for the year this last weekend, but only had one ferry in operation. Their other vessel, the Pelican Perch, apparently not in service right now, according to the News Journal. Could be tied to federal spending cuts. Starting this year, the ferry operates only on Saturdays, plus extra times over the summer for Sunset and Blue Angel practice cruises. The National Park Service owns the ferries, but they are run by Pensacola Bay City Ferry, which confirmed the second ferry is absent currently, but didn't give any details on that. The Gulf Islands National Seashore tells the Journal that they'll answer questions about the second ferry sometime in the next week. South Florida Democrat State Senator Rosalind Osgood says she wants to see a basic bill of rights for inmates. There was a press conference yesterday to discuss Senate Bill 358 that would cover the treatment of inmates in the state correctional system.
We want inmates to certainly be accountable if they break the law, but we want them to be treated with dignity and as human beings when they are incarcerated.
Osgood says inmates deserve certain rights like air conditioning, 3 meals a day, and basic toiletries. The bill in question would allow relief for deprivation of rights and revise the definition of permanently incapacitated inmate for purposes of conditional medical releases. A legislative committee in Tallahassee is conducting interviews for 4 nominees to the University of West Florida Board of Trustees this week, but those interviews will not include newly appointed board chair Scott Yenner. There's been quite a bit of controversy surrounding Yenner and comments previously made about women in the workplace.
You know, recently had a meeting with State Senator Don Gates regarding confirmation to the board. Gates said it would be very controversial, as most of Northwest Florida is united against Yenner serving on the board. Nominees go through a two-step confirmation process. First, they have to be approved by the Senate Appropriations and the Ethics and Elections Committees. Then they go before the full Senate for a vote. Yenner could still be appointed by the governor if the nomination doesn't move forward during the legislative session. A proposed bill in the State House would criminalize explicit AI. More from Austin Price.
The legislature, known as House Bill 757, aims to criminalize AI-generated photos of real people in an explicit context. This follows a case in November where a teenager faced felony charges for distributing such images. PPD's Mike Wood says that he hopes the bill will strengthen enforcement against the issue. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Well, thank you very much, Austin. Pet owners should be aware of a bacterial infection that's apparently been going around in parts of Florida. It's called leptospirosis, and cases have been reported now in Hillsborough and in Pinellas counties. Dr. Melanie Bizarro is at Harmony Vet Care in Oldsmar. She said she saw two cases recently. Both dogs have since recovered. But she says leptospirosis is typically found in soil and contaminated water sources. Symptoms include dehydration, diarrhea, loss of appetite, and lethargy. Dr. Bizarro says this infection can also spread to humans. Vaccines are available. And she says this is now considered to be a core vaccine for pets. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John's got her traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still reporting no accidents right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Again, we're seeing some delays just east of Navarre Beach Bridge and stretching all the way through Windhaven Beach. But that's about a 7 to 9 minute delay there, so not much delay built in there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Our Tuesday starts out foggy, but sunshine will fizzle that out as we head into the later part of the morning and into the afternoon. Temperatures climbing into the middle and upper 70s, making way for a nice and warm day. More dry weather is in store as we head throughout the rest of the work week, so be sure to get out there and enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. Right now, it is 54 degrees in Pensacola. We've got 53 in Milton, 54 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields edged higher this morning following reports that President Trump's tariffs might be more limited in scope and sector-specific duties may be postponed. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose 2 basis points to 4.352%. Popular skincare brand The Ordinary has gone viral for selling ordinarily priced eggs at their stores in New York City. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said the national average for a dozen eggs in January was $4.95. The chain is offering 12 eggs for $3.37. There's a lot of information and money on the table during tax season. That also makes it prime time for scams. As you prepare your annual tax return, due April 15th, experts stress it's important to be aware of the main four warning signs: sense of urgency, isolation tactics, promises of big payday, and suspicious website links. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 597, the NASDAQ up 404. That's your money now.
David Petronis is a Republican Florida congressional candidate and the Florida chief financial officer, and he joins me now. Donald Trump has endorsed you. He says Jimmy Petronis has done a tremendous job as CFO. Petronis has my complete and total endorsement. Run, Jimmy, run, he said.
That's my plan. Look, I'm born and raised in the Panhandle. I love this part of the state, but we've got an open border policy that's got to be closed. We will close that. We have got to restore our confidence in our military and give them the support that they deserve. We will do that with the Trump administration.
He said, run, Jimmy, run, and you said, yes, sir. We'll see how it all plays out.
It's been a wild ride these past few weeks. I've met so many great people, and with your support, I'll be the voice in Washington fighting for you, putting America first every single day. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on April 1st. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronis, Inc.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about.
The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go further. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, I need big help. My husband was working on the lights and he...
I may be small, but I know a thing or two about big jobs. Just call the experts at WeCare and maybe take that honey-do list away from your fella. WeCare's HVAC, plumbing and electrical experts have thousands of positive reviews over the last 10 years. Let the gnome protect your home. Schedule online at WeCareHeatAndAir.com.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? What if you could create more impact in every decision? What if you had a partner as visionary as you are? With Bank of America, you get access to our trusted experts, real-time insights, and digital tools. So whether you run a local shop or a global enterprise, you're backed by business solutions to make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
It was about that point that I ran outside of my house and looked south and took a photo of the leftover smoke trail from the Blue Angels passing yesterday. Because I'm like the northern edge of when, you know, they smoke on. And so I'm always the one who's like, take a picture, rush to social media, tell people it's coming so they can get out and look if they want to look, you know. And sometimes I catch them and sometimes I don't and whatever. And yesterday I did not really, but it was enough to let people know. And then that was actually not from me. That was actually from the Visit Pensacola video that I shared on our Facebook page. And, of course, the Blues are back. Great times. Wonderful. Sound of Freedom. Good stuff. Love it. So happy. Back from El Centro. And so we're into the show season now. Let's see. One of the things that I did not do yet today or even yesterday that I want to talk about is the Trump administration has done a lot of things that are, I mean, really interesting. He's doing so much. The administration is doing so much that you really only get occasionally some of the highlights. And some of the not as mentioned stuff I think is actually very interesting. And because it's not mentioned, I figure, well, somebody ought to mention it. So I'm going to mention some of the other things that aren't getting much news because there's so much going on. And, you know, the typical things kind of dominate your attention, which is the captivating stuff. Even the security breach, which is horrible. Terrible. People should definitely lose their jobs over this, okay? That's still, in the grand scheme of all the things that are happening, that's not the most important stuff that's going on. And here's just some examples, okay? Some examples. One example is... this is not important, but it is funny. The French have asked for the Statue of Liberty back, at least some low-level, you know, French politician, because you're violating the principles of what America stands for, and we don't want you to have our statue anymore. And, of course, the Caroline Leavitt, who is whatever, she says, she's White House press secretary, absolutely not. My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. Yeah, she did. Well, right there. They should be grateful. Anyway, that's not that big. It's just kind of funny. Trump has ended Secret Service protection for Biden's adult children. Now, you can say that's petty. You could also say, why would Ashley Biden have 13 agents assigned to her? 15. How many did Trump have in Butler the first one? So, is it petty and vindictive, or is it just appropriate use of resources of something that's a relatively scarce resource? I say the latter. Maybe a little bit of the former, but definitely the latter. And you're not entitled to ongoing protection after the president's out of office. They usually get it extended for a little while, and they can't extend it for a little while, but, you know, no. The education department being closed. Yes, but, comma, or yes, comma, but. The main functions, and I told you this before, but it's just worth repeating, the main functions are being spun off into other things, like the Small Business Administration, okay, is going to handle the student loan portfolio. That's good and bad. The SBA is not configured for this. Will the people from DOE move over to the SBA? How much inefficiency in the crossover will happen? I mean, it's not quite as simple as, I mean, we were doing it here, we're going to do it over there, everything's fine. But when you talk about dismantling the Department of Education, you're not talking about undoing everything the DOE has its fingers in. You're talking about reducing, spinning off, and some ending, right? That's basically the configuration. And as has been said many times, but still bears repeating, he cannot close it without Congress's approval. Congress is the one who created it. Congress has to close it. Rescinding security clearances to a bunch of people in the former administration. Anthony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Lisa Monaco, Mark Zaid, Norm Eisen, Letitia James. Some of these are more well-known than others. Alvin Bragg, Andrew Weissman. Some of them were and were not in the administration, obviously. Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Cheney, Kamala Harris. Interesting. Adam Kinzinger, Fiona Hill, Alexander Vindman. Remember Vindman was the one who was the whistleblower on the Ukraine call? Joe Biden. You know. And any other member of Joe Biden's family. That one's kind of funny to me because it's like, and et cetera. Like, okay. I also direct executive department agency heads to revoke unescorted access to secure United States government facilities from those individuals. So I guess Hillary can't go walk in the missile silo anymore or, you know, whatever she would have done in the past. I don't have a good feel for just how standard access to the classified information. What's the protocol here? It seems likely to me that it's usually pretty standard to let high-level administration officials continue to get information of some kind. So this seems pretty atypical, which therefore makes you ask the question, well, is there a purpose? Is it vindictive? Is it I can, therefore I will? You know, does it remove their ability to make money? Which is in some cases, that's I mean, you know, threatening to cut off clearance information of some of these companies. That was another one of the moves. Absolutely threatens their ability to make money because they lobby and or work as legal firms, not these particular individuals, but that's kind of another aspect of what he's been doing. You know, if they won't behave, basically, or if he does cut off their access to information, they can't do business the way they've been doing business before. Maybe good, maybe bad, a lot to talk about there, but to me it's always kind of what's the protocol, what's normal. But there's other stuff here. And again, I'm kind of building to what I think are the more important ones. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. If you're on Highway 90 heading toward East Milton via downtown Milton, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, 98 eastbound through Windhaven Beach starting at the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'm starting to see about a 10-minute delay in that area. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, back to things that the Trump administration is doing that maybe you haven't heard as much about. Executive order to stop waste, fraud, and abuse by eliminating information silos. How many times have we heard, especially post 9/11, the problem with stovepiping of information that this agency talks to itself and doesn't talk to the other agencies that are doing very similar things? And so you have redundancy, you have information gaps, you know. This is, it's kind of like self-inflicted sunshine law, right? One of the flaws in the sunshine law is, as who was talking about this? Maybe it was Jeremy Walker, John. I forget who talked. Somebody, one of the people who was filling in for me was talking about how, I think it might have been Jeremy, that one of the costs of the sunshine law is that less gets done well because they can't talk to each other outside of the public view, which always puts performance on display, which means you have to engage in, you know, for the public as opposed to just what the deal takes, all that kind of stuff. And they're right. Absolutely right. That is a trade-off of having the sunshine law. Well, the problem with the kind of stovepiping and information silos historically is the inefficiency created by the sunshine law in Florida isn't a requirement at the federal level. Instead, you have self-inflicted, we don't talk to those people kind of problems. You know, think about how the military operates a lot. You know, the Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Marines and the Coast Guard and the Space Force don't coordinate real well, don't even sometimes like each other real well. And so we have these inefficiencies, these redundancies, you know, why do we have to have a different airplane to do the same job in three different branches? That kind of, you know, which the F-35 was supposed to solve and really didn't. But anyway, he puts out an executive order that says agency heads shall take all necessary steps to the maximum extent consistent with law to ensure federal officials designated by the president or agency heads have full and prompt access to all unclassified agency records, data software systems, and information tech systems, or their equivalents, if providing access to equivalent data sets not delay access for the purpose of pursuing priorities of administration related to the identification, elimination of waste, fraud, and abuse. Meaning, talk to each other. You learn something, tell other people about it. They'll learn and apply the same principle. That's good. This is a good thing. This is smart. This is not just learn for your own experience, but learn for everybody's experience. Share the wins so that we can all win together. There was another executive order eliminating waste and saving taxpayer dollars by consolidating procurement. I feel like I don't probably know enough about procurement to definitively say this is good, but this seems like a good thing to me. The Government Services Administration, established in 1949, was kind of supposed to be the buyer and acquire things for the federal government. And I think over time what's happened is each agency kind of becomes its own buyer. Well, that creates inefficiency. You know, if agency A, say, I don't know, the Department of the Interior, needs paperclips, terrible example, but there it is, and the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, and, say, the Navy all need paperclips, well, and maybe the military needs to be separate for other reasons, but, you know, why not have one organization that says, I mean, I can get us all paperclips cheap. And does it, right?
Cough.
I mean, that makes sense, right? So that's what he's saying is, let's get back to that. You know, if we're going to buy razor blades and airplanes and screwdrivers and bullets, again, I'm interpreting, let's have one procurement agency that does all this stuff so they can really make the best deals, leverage the most bulk buy, and not have the inefficiency created by every different agency having to have a person to go out there and figure out what's the best thing to buy. That's inefficient. And then competing against each other when we're in the buying of it. You know, I mean, this makes sense to me. This is good. Immediate measures to increase American mineral production. Executive order. Go slash and burn the red tape and let's start developing our own rare earth and other minerals, mining operations and, you know, extraction so that we can be more self-reliant on these things instead of reliant on imports. Good. Good. That's the drill baby drill for not oil, right? That's drill baby drill for other things. And there's a lot of other things we need. And then another couple of things here. There was, you know, that was also reduces our reliance on China. That also sort of works against, in a good way, the efforts by China to become the dominant partner of a lot of countries around the world and trade them crappy infrastructure that breaks for mineral rights and access to their, right, their resources. That's what China's model has been. Let's build them a dam that breaks in 5 years, and in exchange we get these mineral rights. And in 5 years the dam is broken, and they don't have anything except a broken dam because we put crappy concrete to euphemize how one other person. Remember we did there was a military luncheon and one of our local military officials used a profanity there. I thought appropriately. For blanky concrete, you know, but in exchange, after your 10 years, you know, the Chinese have the mineral rights and the local country has a problem. And, you know, that's how they've been doing. Well, the problem is that those mineral rights aren't available for us. So, well, let's develop our own. OK, Department of Energy, liquefied natural gas related approval, fifth one since Trump took office, reversing the Biden era ban. Good. Department of the Interior implemented permanent pay increases for wildland firefighters. You don't hear about that. You hear about the folks at, you know, Fort Pickens losing their job and now getting it back. Probably bad and good, right, in order. But now you have pay increases for firefighters. Good. Health and Human Services announced Operation Stork Speed to expand options for nutritious infant formula for American families. Seems good. Department of Health and Human Services, an online searchable database providing a list of contaminant levels in human foods. Seems good, right? Department of the VA is going to stop covering sex change surgeries, depending on your politics. Seems good, you know? What was the one that, you know, DOGE has been exaggerating its wins, but they did have one that was just so funny. You can't make some of these things up, like for the Transgressors Memorial Service, the Woe Unto All Who Offend segment. And I do on Fridays, the early service at 6:20 and the late service at 8:20. At the Department of Agriculture, they canceled a $300,000 contract, which was targeted for educating on food justice for queer and transgender farmers in San Francisco. No, it's only 300 grand. In the scheme of the federal budget, that is, I mean, that's not even a potato. That's like a potato molecule. But it's not even a potato chip. Okay, it's so small. But why did we have a $300,000 contract for food justice for queer and transgender farmers in San Francisco? Come on. And canceled a New York program educating transgender and queer farmers on food justice and food equality in New York. What? Just, I know. Again, it's teeny tiny, but it's however did this happen, right? So just a couple of news items. Of course, also, unfortunately, getting rid of a lot of IRS agents. And now the projection is that the IRS may generate, as much as 10% less revenue next year because A, fewer collections agents means fewer audits being produced effectively. B, big companies, that whole division is being downsized and the ability to oversee them is severely hampered. Oh, and C, if you're inclined to maybe cheat on your taxes because you think you might not get caught in an era where they're basically firing all the IRS agents, you're more prone to cheat on your taxes and not get caught. So, I mean, it's only like 10% of the revenue for the IRS that they're afraid you might lose. It's not that much money. It's only like $500 billion a year. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Oh
boy. Yeah, no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Still dealing with some minor delays on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge through the Windhaven Beach. I say maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as they are now offering 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress from the cost of healthcare today at 10 with ProHealth on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But this right here, my friend, happens to be the stupidest idea I've ever heard of in my life.
you don't normally think of Billy Idol as like the soothing sound, but this Catch My Fall is such a great song, and it does make me want to go just a little bit slower this morning in a good way. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The FBI is launching a new task force to investigate attacks recently against Tesla. This comes after several incidents across the country involving Tesla vehicles, charging stations, and dealerships being vandalized. There have been incidents in at least 9 states. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi has called the attacks domestic terrorism. And the wildfires are continuing in western North Carolina. Firefighting efforts continue there. Where they're still hampered from damage by Hurricane Helene last year.
Tired of throwing beans on masterpieces? Here's some salt water and a bomb for your Teslas.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News.